their shattering miss. In addition, as we continue to make our way through this article on the fate of Christians now in Syria, as well as Iraq, this particular article concludes by saying that that Christians that were more than 1 million strong in Iraq alone prior to the 2003 U.S. invasion are no more now than somewhere between 100 and 200,000. The estimates that IQ has used on this program of a 90% annihilation of the Christian population in Iraq since the U.S. invasion is either accurate or extremely close to being accurate. The number is somewhere between 80 and 90%. Now, before we go to the next story, I want to talk about an ad. And it's an ad that played on the GCN as part of one of the GCN ads. I would like you to know that I have been paid nothing for the 2 years I have hosted this program on GCN. So I am not a beneficiary in any way from any of the advertisements on GCN. If they were to choose to fire me, since they pay me nothing to do this program because I'm going to speak out against one of their ads, they can do so. I really do not care. There was an advertisement by Alex Jones on longevity. I think it's called Youngevity. It was Longevity, but I think they had too many articles written exposing their lies under Longevity, and just to make it more difficult for people to find accurate information on them, they switched to the name Youngevity. The claim that America's farmlands and farmlands around the world are depleted of essential minerals and that they once had that they no longer have is untrue. Virtually every claim made by Youngevity is untrue. There are vitamins and minerals the body needs. If you eat a reasonable diet, you will get all of them. If you don't eat a reasonable diet, you can buy a vitamin supplement, which will resolve the deficiency. And a vitamin supplement would cost you about a nickel a day, if that. Now, you can go all out and say, you know, I want everything imaginable, and I want everything imaginable at 10 times the amount that the FDA says is the proper amount for my daily intake. So I want 10 times everything that that my body needs, and I want that in a vitamin and mineral supplement. You can go out and get that too. There are probably 500 companies selling those kinds of things. And if you want it at the best value, you're going to go to a place like Costco. Or if you want to go online, go to Amazon. It won't be as good a value as Costco. And you can buy those products and consume them for pennies a day. Now, if you want to enrich liars, schemers, buy Youngevity. But understand that if you're doing so, you're not getting a better product. You're not buying a value. Most of the claims made by the product are untrue. The founder of Youngevity is a fraud, Dr. Joel Wallach. He's not a doctor. He was a vet. His claims are nonsense. His history is that of a charlatan. This is not something that you should participate in. It is grossly overpriced. And if, by the way, if you're a fan of Alex Jones and you now are listening to him endorse this product, when he knows in fact that it is grossly overpriced and is making enormously errant claims and that its founder, Dr. Joel Wallach, is a fraud, you ought to consider what else he has to say. Youngevity is a multi-level marketing scheme. It's also known as a pyramid scheme. Those at the top get rich and do nothing. Those at the bottom sacrifice enormous amounts of their time and money and get nothing out of it. They hold rallies to take advantage of their friends and lie to them. Anytime you buy a product from an infomercial or a multi-level marketing scheme, you're going to pay, on average, 5 times more than you could buy that product if you search for the same product through other channels of distribution. That's the nature of multi-level marketing. For every person up the chain of the pyramid in a multi-level marketing scheme to get paid, the product has to be grossly overpriced. On average, in a multi-level marketing scheme, a product that costs a dollar has to be sold for more than $5 to $10 for the scheme to work. And so the only thing that they can do, and the same thing is true of an infomercial, a $1 product has to sell for $5 to $10 for the infomercial to work. When the $1 product, if you went to a Costco, would sell for $1.15. And the $1 product, if you went to a Walmart or a Target, would sell for $1.45. And if that $1 product was sold in a department store, it would sell for $1.99. But that same product in a multi-level marketing scheme is going to sell between $5 and $10. And there's only one way that you can, there's two ways that you can sell a product for a lot more than it's worth. You can make false claims about it, which is what Youngevity does. Or you can have a unique product that no one has anything remotely like it, which is typically the nature of the infomercials. They find unique things that no one can compare the price to, and they have kind of a clever pitch to them, and therefore people are willing to overpay for the product because it's unique. Can't be compared to any other product. Now, that's the truth about nutritional supplements. That's the truth about multi-level marketing schemes. That's the truth about Youngevity. I don't want you to be deceived. The purpose of this program is called Shattering Myths. There are myths that go beyond religion and politics and militarism. There are all manners of economic myths. You know, it's interesting, too, that while he is overtly opposed to religion and condemns religion bluntly and consistently throughout his Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, there must be in the range of 20 or 30 mentions in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms of business dealings, of business transactions, maybe even more. Yahweh is really concerned about people treating other people ethically in business. And particularly, he doesn't want people to prey on those who are vulnerable, particularly widows, orphans, the elderly. And he constantly, in fact, I was just reading through the book of Jeremiah, and he's constantly reminding us that when a culture has a tendency to take advantage of others, cheats them in business, and Youngevity is such a company, that when they take advantage and they overprice their product and they make false claims about their product and take advantage of their customers, that those kinds of people destroy a community. And it becomes infectious and you get more and more people participating and playing along. One of the reasons I think that God is so insistent that we don't do that, that we don't take advantage of others economically, is that when we do that, we destroy our credibility. When we do that, then rather than showing the nature of the covenant, which is to lift people up, to nurture them, to enlighten them, to empower them, we do exactly the opposite of all those things. And so cheating people in a business transaction from God's perspective is the very same thing as depriving them of the covenant and the benefits of the covenant. And he equates to a large degree religious lies with this same concept of depriving people, cheating them out of their money. You know, to impoverish many while enriching the few. God doesn't like it. It's a credibility issue with him. In fact, you can even take it to the point of the very act that is associated with Pesach and Matzah, where we are redeemed. To be redeemed is to be bought, is to be purchased, is to be ransomed. It's a business transaction. God's saying, I'm going to substitute myself for you. I'm going to pay the fine instead of you. It's a business transaction. And so with that in mind, he doesn't want us as individuals to be cheating, to be taking advantage of others in our business transactions, because then we are negating the merits of what he's offering. All right, that's enough for longevity. Be interesting to see what flack I get from GCN, if any, for telling you the truth about the product, its founder, and its new spokesperson. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry vowed yesterday to have American support for the Iraqi government to be intense and sustained. So what does the effect intense and sustained means? Well, the first thing that we saw was that America reengaged U.S. troops. We sent 300 troops over, special forces for the most part, over, and we sent some 300 troops over to protect our embassy. You know that in Iraq, the largest American embassy facility in the world is in Iraq, 5,000 strong. That means there's 5,000 American diplomats and CIA in Baghdad under the auspices of the U.S. Embassy. You know, we talked about leaving a residual force in Iraq and whether it was appropriate to leave, 5 to 10,000 troops there in Iraq, but we did. We just call them U.S. Embassy staff. There's 5,000 of them, and now there's almost 1,000 troops there supporting them. So with that in mind, what does intense and sustained mean? Are we going to give them boatloads of money, boatloads of military equipment, boatloads of personnel? What does that actually mean, and what is it going to result in? U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry went on to say that the Sunni militants were a threat to Iraq's existence and that the next days and weeks would be critical. Well, the Sunni militants in Iraq are comprised of the Ba'ath Party politicians and administrators. They're comprised of the Ba'ath Party Iraqi military that America destroyed. They are part of the most educated, most professional class of people in Iraq. And so if they are opposed to Iraq, how are you going to have an inclusive Iraq that excludes the Sunnis? I mean, most everything that America is saying these days makes no sense. Moving on to the next article, Shiite Turkmen villages in northern Iraq. Now, there's not a lot of Shiite Turkmen. Turkmen would be that they are Turkish, and most Turks, overwhelming preponderance of Turks, probably 90-plus percent of Turks, are Sunni Muslims. In fact, if you realize that Kurdish Islam is also part of Sunni Islam, it's probably higher than that. Anyway, the Turkmen villages in northern Iraq have claimed that this article says the Al-Qaeda-inspired Sunni militant group carried out a savage massacre in four villages near the city of Kirkuk. Now, the fact is that Kirkuk is a area that is controlled by the Kurds. And there isn't an Al-Qaeda-inspired anything in the world today. Al-Qaeda hasn't inspired anything. Islam is what is inspiring both the Sunnis and Shias to kill one another. It's not a corruption of Islam. It's Islam as the religion was actually conceived and lived by Muhammad. And in Iraq in particular, Al-Qaeda, particularly during the time of Saddam Hussein and of Osama bin Laden, they were arch enemies. They had absolutely no synergy whatsoever, no common ground. They were absolute arch enemies. And so there was no Al-Qaeda inspiration of any kind in Iraq prior to the American invasion. And even after the American invasion, there doesn't appear to be any Al-Qaeda influence in Iraq. And the group that is prevailing in Iraq, ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, hates Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda hates them. They've never been joined and never been part of one another. And their political rhetoric is in opposition to each other. In fact, those who have actually studied the individuals responsible for conceiving ISIS and who know what and al-Baghdadi is the leader of ISIS, and they know what Osama bin Laden and now Ayman al-Zawahiri have said and done. They recognize that that ISIS and Al-Qaeda not only have nothing in common, that what Al-Qaeda sought to do in terms of coming up with a unified banner under which fundamentalist Sunni Muslims could act as jihadists, ISIS has accomplished. ISIS is far bigger, far better known, far more revered, far more successful than Al-Qaeda ever dreamed of being. And it's not that ISIS began as an offshoot of Al-Qaeda and then came to dominance and came to achieve all that Al-Qaeda sought to achieve. That's not the case at all. It's just that Al-Qaeda was never meaningful. The only time that they were even worth speaking about is when America was using them to bring down the Soviet-backed government of Afghanistan, and when they, after having achieved that, vied for the opportunity to throw Saddam Hussein and Iraqis out of Kuwait to protect Saudi Arabia. There was a brief period of time where they had a minor influence as Sunni Islamic fundamentalists. Time is long gone. And while Al-Qaeda never generated massive worldwide appeal, ISIS is among Sunni Muslims. ISIS's appeal is far more resonating with them. And so when somebody refers to ISIS as Al-Qaeda inspired, it just shows that they really haven't a clue what's happening in that part of the world. They haven't a clue about fundamentalist Islam and Sunnis and Shias and what their aspirations are, who they're affiliated with, what causes them to risk their lives, what causes them to kill. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So as we consider the fate of the Shiite Turkmen and their villagers outside of the city of Kirkuk, the Washington Post is reporting that they claim that dozens of residents in their villages were murdered by ISIS. They claim that the number is approximately 40. And saying that, it, you know, the way they're talking about it is, it, you know, tell the world it was a savage massacre. And I can understand that if you lived in one of these communities and the one they called a savage massacre happened to be 15 people, 15 of the 40. But considering that this is a civil war, that it's a religious civil war between Sunnis and Shias, and that over the course of Islam's history, about 300 million people have been murdered in the name of Allah and Islam. And that in Syria, over these last 4 years, that somewhere in the range of 300,000 Muslims have been killed. And you realize just how massive an area that ISIS has come to control in western Iraq and northern Iraq. 15 to 45 people. Well, tragic for those 15 to 45 people and for their families. You know, it's just not a massacre. It isn't tell the world. A lot of this is being blown way out of perspective. Now, there's parts of it that aren't being blown out of perspective. Fundamentalist Muslims are ruthless. They are absolutely imposing Sharia law. You know, their goal is not to stop with Iraq, but to include Syria and Jordan and Lebanon and Israel. I mean, that's the reality of all of this. And it's absolutely true that when they fight, the Iraqi army melts away. Now, the United Nations is saying that collectively over these last 2 weeks that about 1,000 people have been killed, mostly civilians. And they've been killed by the participants on both sides. The Iraqi government is, you know, shooting artillery into towns. They're scraping towns with warplanes. And so, you know, there's no indication that one side is a lot more ruthless than the other. Now, there have been many executions and extrajudicial killings of civilian and police and the like. But, you know, keep in mind that the Shiites have been doing this to Sunnis for a very long time now. And that two of the leading Sunni clerics were murdered, tortured and murdered by Shiites just 2 days ago. So, in this particular case, they're talking about the death toll, and they said you can't imagine what happened. Only if you could, you'd have to see it to believe it. And he goes on to say they hit us with mortars and with more mortars, and the families fled, and they kept hitting us with mortars. It's completely sectarian. They want the Shiites out. Yes, they hit them with mortars. They took over the town. They want the Shiites out. Just as the Sunnis fired artillery and mortars into Fallujah and other Sunni towns and cities because they wanted the Sunnis out. This is, it's come home to roost. Now, the survivor said that the militants traveled in Humvees. A Humvee is an American military truck. And that they also had their trucks that were mounted with machine guns, 50 caliber machine guns. Those were provided courtesy of Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And that they were flying the black flag of ISIS. There is no black flag of ISIS. There is a black flag of jihad. Muhammad was a terrorist. He led 75 terrorist raids during the first 10 years of the Islamic era. During that period of time, Muhammad had a series of three colored flags that he would fly depending on the nature of the terrorist mission. They're flying jihadi flags that are fundamentalist Muslim. It is believed that the militants have seized the vehicles, guns, and other equipment from the Iraqi positions that have been overrun in the past 2 weeks. Well, that's known for certain. The northern province of Tikrit in the Sunni village of Al-Alam fell to ISIS, who received government-issued vehicles and weapons from the surrendered inhabitants. And this was what one of the local residents told the Wall Street Journal. The truce came after the army abandoned us. We were surrounded. You know, it's not hard to take over a city or town an hour, which is the rate to which ISIS is now advancing, when the opponents don't fight back. America witnessed this. You know, America's invasion of Iraq in 2003. Allegedly because Iraq was harboring weapons of mass destruction. Remember, how Colin Powell went to the United Nations and he had his slideshow and said this is, you know, a weapon of mass destruction. Of course, he was wrong. Iraqis didn't have the weapons of mass destruction that he claimed was the basis of the U.S. invasion. And nonetheless, when the U.S. invaded Iraq under that basis, it was sold to the American people that the U.S. Army was going to battle and prevail against the Iraqi army. But there was no Iraqi army. Sure, one existed. There were hundreds of thousands of people in uniform being paid to be soldiers, and they had some semblance of equipment. But they retreated faster than the Americans moved. As the Americans moved, they shed their uniforms. They shed their identity cards. They kept their light weapons, but shed their more conspicuous weaponry. And they just faded into the civilian population. The exact same thing is happening now. All you have to do is look at the past, and you'll recognize what is happening as we speak. And so, just as America could move through the entire country in a matter of weeks as fast as their military machines would carry them, they never encountered a military foe. ISIS isn't encountering a military foe. The military is melting away. Now, as America found out, that does not mean that you have won. Because all that's happening is that those who were once military are now mujahideen, and they're now snipers and deploying IEDs and all manner of mechanisms to terrorize you. That's what's happening again now. There's been a series of articles that have been published on this battle, but one of the most interesting happens to be something that the Washington Post does is what they call fact checkers. And they issue anywhere from one to four Pinocchios for how big a lie is being told. And not understanding who these combatants are is part of the lie that is published by Washington. Now, in this particular case, President Barack Hussein Obama wants to be able to give, and has been giving, advanced weaponry in enormous quantities to the Sunni Mujahideen that is fighting President Bashar al-Assad. And in that vein, it's the same Mujahideen that, of course, are now ISIS and have moved across that were fighting in Iraq. So when asked why all of the American weapons and all of this equipment that America has funneled to ISIS and al-Nusra Front, which they don't want to use those terms, they'll use moderate fighters, which there is no such thing as a moderate fighter in Islam, never has been, never will be. But that's the term that they use, and so when it's obvious that they are losing badly in Syria and winning mightily in Iraq, the president has been put on the defensive as saying, what's wrong? You know, why is it that we're giving all of this weaponry to the rebels in Syria and they aren't prevailing? So this is on a series of speeches, this is what Obama said. He said, when you talk about the moderate opposition, now, no one should be talking about the moderate opposition because there is no moderate opposition to Assad in Syria. There's no such thing as a moderate Muslim. Never has been, never will be. And we can go through that at great length, but the bottom line is that the Quran defines what is and is not a Muslim. And the Quran says in the ninth surah that any Muslim that is peaceful, that does not engage in jihad, that does not support jihad, ceases to be a Muslim. They become a hypocrite. And that it is the jihadist Muslim's obligation under Islam to kill the non-jihadist Muslim, and that Allah says that he's going to personally attend to their torture in the hottest places in hell. So peaceful Muslim, moderate Muslim, does not exist. They cease to be a Muslim according to the Quran, and the Quran is the only valid definition in this particular case. So when you talk about moderate Muslims, of course, or moderate opposition, you are lying, but nonetheless, this is what the president said. Many of these people were farmers or dentists or maybe even some radio reporters who didn't have a lot of experience fighting. That's what he said in a news conference on June 19th, 2014, very recently. Then, right before then, Obama, in an interview on National Public Radio on May 29th, said, twice in the past month, his actual quote here is, when you talk about this is again, he says, oftentimes the challenge is, that is, if you have former farmers or teachers or pharmacists who are now taking up opposition against battle-hardened regimes with support from external actors that have a lot at stake, how quickly you can get them trained, how effective you are going to be at mobilizing them. So when Shattering This continues, the thing we're going to talk about is the Syrian rebellion that America is arming, are they comprised of former farmers, teachers, and pharmacists and radio reporters or not? So here's Obama saying that there are moderate opposition in Syria, which is, we know from the Quran, is absolutely nonsense. We also know it from what both ISIS and al-Nusra, which are the two largest opposition groups in Syria, have said. They don't even want to meet with the Free Syrian Army. They won't talk about anything other than establishing a caliphate and imposing Sharia law. They're both Sharia law-focused, fundamentalist Islamic state is what they're attempting to establish. So with the two largest groups in Syria, there's not a moderate among them. Not one. But now, are they former teachers, farmers, or pharmacists? So the Washington Post decided that they would do an investigation. And the first thing they came to is that it's very difficult. But there was one source that they found. It says, while the exact numbers are not necessarily clear, there was a violations documentation center in Syria, which is a respected opposition source that is considered to be the most reliable source out of Syria. And it listed the known occupation of those that were killed while fighting on behalf of the opposition. The figures only concern 12% of the more than 27,000 deaths, and it can't be verified. The BDC is an activist organization that is advocating on behalf of Sunni Islam. But with all of those caveats, the numbers still provide considerable evidence that the former military personnel make up a relatively large percentage of opposition fighters. In fact, more than 50%. Farmers, teachers, and pharmacists, by contrast, those things that were the majority on Obama's list, make up less than 2%. Here's the numbers. 2,084 soldiers were killed. That's 62%. So 62% of those killed, this is representing now the Sunni rebels organizations describing those killed and the occupations of them, say that 62% of the total were soldiers in the Syrian army. Now you might say, how is that possible? The Syrian army at the top is comprised largely of Shia. But in the rank and file, because the country is mostly Sunni, the rank and file of the Syrian army was Sunni. And so when the Sunnis got arms from Saudi Arabia and Qatar and were in the process of trying to overthrow the Sunni government, and the Sunni army started to respond against them, now you had the Syrian army attacking the Sunnis, so the Sunnis deserted. So the vast preponderance of Sunnis in the Assad army deserted. And they are fighting either for ISIS or for al-Nusra or one of the other fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organizations. They comprise 62% of those who have been killed. general workers, just your average Joes, represent about 10 to 11% of the total. Students, underage fighters, 8%. Activists, you know, political activists, if you will, 4% of the fighters. Former police, 3% of the fighters. Engineers, 3.2%. Medics, 1%. Doctors, 1%. Teachers, less than 1%. Farmers, half of 1%. What this demonstrates is that the president's alibi for, so we've armed them to the hilt, but they aren't very good, and they're not very good because they have never handled guns before. They are teachers, they're pharmacists, they're radio hosts, they're doctors, and so, you know, they're doing the best they can. It's an outright lie. The groups that Obama has identified represent less than 2% of the total. Moreover, Syria did not have a volunteer army. There's virtually no Islamic country that has a volunteer army. You're conscripted. And so the vast preponderance, if not the overwhelming preponderance, perhaps as much as 95% of those who weren't in the Syrian army at the time the conflict began and deserted the Syrian army to join al-Nusra and ISIS, virtually every other man who is fighting in this jihad served anywhere from 2 to 5 years in the Syrian army and thus was trained as a soldier. Obama scores 4 Pinocchios. It's just another of his lies.